I made it clear to early on to President Putin that if he were to move into Ukraine, that there'd be severe consequences.
Tensions rising along the Ukraine border. It's Thursday, January 27th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, the Kingdom of Tonga faces a food shortage. The U.S. Supreme Court takes up race-based college admissions and filling service jobs with robots. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Russia has rejected the prospect of U.S. sanctions against President Vladimir Putin, one of several proposed responses if Russia forces were to invade neighboring Ukraine. At the same time, Moscow says it is watching with great concern an American move to put 8,500 troops on alert for possible deployment to Eastern Europe. As VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports, diplomatic efforts continue as the United States and NATO boost their military deterrence.
Russia's military buildup along its border with Ukraine and in Belarus is continuing. President Joe Biden told reporters in Washington Tuesday, saying he is now ready to boost U.S. and NATO deterrence in Eastern Europe, but would not send U.S. troops to Ukraine.
I made it clear to early on to President Putin that if he were to move into Ukraine, that there'd be severe consequences, including significant economic sanctions, as well as I'd feel obliged to beef up our presence, NATO's presence on the Eastern Front, Poland, Romania, etc.
Asked if he would consider sanctioning Russian President Vladimir Putin personally, Biden said yes, he would. The United States, Britain, Australia, and Germany have ordered the families of diplomats living in Kyiv to leave Ukraine. Some Ukrainian officials say the move was premature. Oleksiy Danilov is Secretary of Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council.
We must remain calm today. We don't see in reality the situation that is being inflated in the media now.
Asked if the U.S. agrees with Ukraine's assessment, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said this.
Well, no one can get into the mind of President Putin or Russian leadership. We all know that is the case. What we have seen is a range of preparations, including 100,000 troops at the border, bellicose rhetoric, and actions, as we've talked about in here, including false flag operations to try to spread misinformation throughout the region and even the world, setting up the predicate for an invasion.
On Monday, Biden said he had a very good meeting and that the U.S. is in complete unity with key European allies. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz welcomed French President Emmanuel Macron to Berlin Tuesday, and they agreed that Russia would face severe sanctions if it invades Ukraine. Macron said he would speak to Putin on Friday. The diplomatic efforts come as Russia is sending troops and military equipment to Belarus, worrying observers. William Hartung is with the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft.
Well, I think the troops in Belarus, it's concerning. It certainly would position Russia better if they chose to go into Ukraine. Hard to tell at this time if Putin is bluffing.
Russia says it is not planning to invade Ukraine, despite massing troops and equipment along the border and in Belarus, and is accusing the United States of escalating hostilities. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Required app raises fears China will track sensitive data during Olympics. Australian naval ship to deliver relief supplies to Tonga. Thailand first in Asia to decriminalize marijuana. Mekong region sees new species despite intense threat. Seoul says it paid Iran's delinquent UN dues to restore vote. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The Chinese capital, Beijing, reported 14 new coronavirus cases on Wednesday as it began a third round of mass testing of millions of people in the run-up to next month's Winter Olympics. The procedures are testing the patients of some residents who say they have to stand in line almost daily in freezing temperatures. International Olympic Committee IOC President Thomas Bach delivered a video message to the China Media Group Forum held on Wednesday. He called for the Olympic spirit of unity to dominate the Games.
The best winter sport athletes of the world will compete with each other for Olympic glory while living peacefully together under one roof in the Olympic Village. In this way, they will send a powerful message from Beijing to the world. We can only go faster. We can only aim higher. We can only become stronger if we stand together in solidarity.
The Beijing Winter Olympic Games begin Friday, February 4th. Tongan people are now facing dire food shortages in the wake of the devastating volcanic eruptions on January 14th and 15th. The current food left in the country is merely enough to support local people's life for no more than a week or two. The deadly volcanic eruptions and ensuing tsunami have devastated local agriculture and severely damaged crops in Tonga. Here's Louise Waterhouse, General Consul of Tonga in Sydney.
The poorer news is that they had a 36-hour power failure in Tonga, which meant that all their frozen goods were lost. So there's a dire shortage of food. So we're looking for canned food to be sending to Tonga and of course, further water supplies. And also the crops. I don't know if I mentioned last time, but the fields have been totally blanketed in ash, which has destroyed the current crop in Tonga.
The General Consul also said that they are now looking for canned food and further water supplies to be sent into Tonga to ease the dire food shortage in the country. Meantime, we're getting a better idea when the undersea communications cable, which connects Tonga to the outside world, will be repaired. Here's Samuela Fanua, Chairman of Tonga Cable Limited.
Most probably the second week of February, we may have our connection online again. There are two internet service providers in Tonga that we provide capacity to them to offer internet services to the people. So right now, they are still offering internet services, very limited internet services, but using satellite communication.
Fanua says repairs to the cable should begin as early as next week. Protests against Australia Day were held nationwide as other residents celebrated the country's National Day. Protesters argue historical wrongs were committed against the country's Indigenous people. First Nations activist Elizabeth Jarrett.
Thank you all for coming here today to understand what today represents for First Nations people. Today's a national holiday. You're told to go and have a beer and a barbecue and celebrate the genocide of our people. So I thank each and every one of you from the bottom of our hearts, from all First Nations people that stand here today.
Clifford Peter joined what he's calling Invasion Day protests.
It was Invasion Day for us, like a lot of our old people, like a lot of our ancestors got basically murdered on this day, you know, and hunted down like an animal, and so we just want to get recognition.
Australia Day signifies the 1788 landing of British convict ships in Sydney and the settlement established by those on board. Still ahead on VOA Asia, is the Supreme Court signaling a shift on affirmative action? Happening now in Asia. Responding to a surge in anti-Asian violence in the United States over the past year, San Francisco is ordering a higher police presence across its Chinatown area ahead of the Lunar New Year holiday. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. So happy you could join us here on VOA Asia. The Supreme Court this week announced it would hear two cases challenging the practice by some U.S. universities of using the race of an applicant as one of the factors that affects admissions. The court said it would combine two cases, one brought against Harvard University and another against the University of North Carolina. The central question identified by the court in both cases is whether it should overturn its own previous ruling that allowed universities to use race as a factor in admissions decisions. Mark Sherman covers the Supreme Court for the Associated Press.
The Supreme Court's interest in taking this case is a strong suggestion that there may be a majority on the court for overturning those precedents and limiting, if not eliminating, the use of race in college admissions.
The affirmative action case will not be heard until the court's next term begins in October. The U.S. Coast Guard is searching for 39 people missing for several days after a boat believed to be used for human smuggling capsized off Florida's coast en route from the Bahamas. The Maritime Security Agency tweeted that a Good Samaritan alerted the Coast Guard early Tuesday after rescuing a man clinging to the boat 45 miles east of Fort Pierce. The man said he was part of a group of people who left the island of Bimini in the Bahamas on Saturday night. He said the boat capsized in severe weather. The Coast Guard is calling it a suspected human smuggling case. The current difficulty in filling many service jobs in the U.S. is leaving hotels scrambling to provide room service. But with a bit of ingenuity and a little high-tech help, some American hotels are finding a way. Angelina Bogdasarian has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
This is the Relay Robot. It now works at the Radisson Hotel in Sunnyvale, California, because of staff shortages caused by COVID-19. The robot is a welcome presence.
There's guests that like that, the fact that they can have items delivered and not have that contact with a human being.
Basic room service that would have been handled by staff is now handled by these robots.
When you get a delivery from a robot, you are not bothering a person. And there's a sense in which, you know, when we think, oh, should I call down to the front desk or should I just go get it myself? Sometimes if you had the sense that they're busy or something, you might say, well, I'll wait, or they're too busy, it's going to take too long. When robots come, they come very fast, usually in around 5 or 6 minutes. And they don't ask for a tip. They don't, you don't have to get dressed for them. You're not bothering anybody.
Steve Cousins is CEO and founder of a company called SavvyOak that produces these robots. He says the trickiest bit was to teach the robots to use an elevator.
You have to get the elevator company to come out and modify the building in order for it to work, and that takes a lot of money and time. So what we've done recently is added a little button pusher to our robot where it can push the buttons by itself.
Here's how it works. Special sensors in the robot can pick the right button, avoid any obstacles it may face on the floor, and finally arrive at its destination. Once it's safely parked in front of the room door, the customer gets a message.
When you have a robot on your team, it doesn't go home. So it's always there. It's available 24/7. It's not like you have to have, you know, 3 shifts a day plus weekends. The robots are available whenever you need them. You know, the staff loves it because they're able to focus on the job they're supposed to be doing.
In California, robots are not only doing room service at hotels and delivering food. They also patrol the streets. These police robots work in the Los Angeles parks. Yet robot designers want to reassure customers that the machines will not replace people in the industry. They merely want to make life a little easier for people and safer at a time when safety is a big concern. For Angelina Bogdasarian in Los Angeles, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Thousands of people turned out for India's Republic Day celebration Wednesday, which featured a display of military power and cultural diversity through the colorful spectacle that was curtailed by the COVID-19 pandemic. President Ramnath Kovind took the salute from the marching columns, which also included a camel-mounted regiment with its mustachioed riders led by shiny brass bands with tubas. Republic Day marks the anniversary of the adoption of the country's constitution on January 26, 1950. India won independence from British colonial rule in 1947. You have been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy the day.